Hello, fellow gooners from icy cold Germany, and greetings to my co-host on the other side of the world, Aiden, in sunny South Africa.
Howdy, guys. A warm 35 degrees from Cape Town over here. It's actually absolute belter. It's been what, 11 that we've won. It's really good to be a gooner at this point in time.
Yeah, so we are going to touch on now the Monday night game that we were first previewing. It was again playing out as a tough game the first half against Leicester, who, as we said in the pre-podcasting, Puel was in a set-up shop, almost like perfect against us, and almost like they went like for like with us for most of the game, even though they played like a 4-4-2. But I mean, they were playing a very, since the new Arsenal are playing a high defensive line, Vardy and Iheanacho were just hanging in their own half and just waiting for Maddison to loft balls over into the Arsenal half, which of course they had the speed to run onto. But I mean, the likes of Leno and Socrates, they saw, or Mustafi, sorry, they saw things off well in that first half, because I mean, it was a storm we had to weather.
That Madison guy really gave us trouble. I felt that second half we really nullified him, and that's why eventually he got substituted.
Yeah, because you must also remember, at the moment we are playing a brand of football. I mean, I'm going to touch on it for the of the Lisbon game, but there is a new type of tactic that one pundit specifically has picked up on, and I'm going to go into in depth, like when we start talking about the Lisbon game. With regard to the Leicester game again, we went behind to Bellerin own goal. Almost like, I mean, in a way it was coming, because the amount of pressure that they were, putting on us, we were buckling eventually, because you can only, weather so much before something has to give. And through a bit of, lack of concentration, because if we look at the replay again, I think of the goal, you can see Lacazette loses Chilwell. And since Mkhitaryan was sucked into the middle of the park, it left Chilwell, acres of space to gun towards our box. And by the time Bellerin was sucked first to the middle, and then by the time he now realized, oh crap, I'm gonna have a guy running on the overlap, by the time he pulled wide, all he could do was almost like just stick a foot out, and then he ended up just steering that, because it was actually a cross, it wasn't a shot, it was a cross or miss hit shot maybe. But I mean, he then steered the ball past a flat-footed Leno, and I mean, we were 1-0 down, and you could sense, okay, the crowd were, wobbling a bit with that goal that we conceded. But that said, the team did not, put their head down or whatever. They got back up and started applying the pressure, because so after the 35th minute, you could see we were really cranking it up, the pressure and the intensity of the game.
Oh, there's two things I want to touch on, like both a pro and a con. I mean, the one thing about this Arsenal team at the moment, they're starting very slow games, and it's good we crank up the pressure, and towards the end of the first half and then second half done right. But the problem comes to me is that when you're playing maybe a Liverpool or you're playing a Man City or even a Tottenham, you don't want to let him get in the game and get their rhythm going, because it can be a very tough game for Arsenal if they find themselves 2-0 down. It's not going to be easy to orchestrate a comeback like that. And that being said, another thing that I can say was a pro from Emre's side, the way he altered his tactics, like when he put He brought he put Iwobi on the was it on the right side to almost help to almost nullify Chilwell, because second half you didn't even hear Chilwell's name at all anymore compared to the first half. And then that Xhaka at left back also was actually really good, because he played an absolute stunner actually.
Yeah, because look, you could see in that, there were parts of that second half where you could see he was getting adventurous, going about, tempted to go, but he slowly slotted in back into that left back position. But then, with regards now to that first half, still again, we equalized with a fantastic Ozil goal, something that he started from the middle of the park, where interplay between him and Bellerin, and I mean, he got himself in the box and he just like just caressed it. and it like just kisses the ball, just kissed off the post and into the net. And I mean, it was like a perfect goal because, as Martin Tyler said, because we had him as the commentator, as he said, he knew the minute he stuck the ball, he was already wheeling off in celebration. So he knew.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I think that this performance and in general, if you could sum up Unai Emery's night, it would be the perfect 10 because there was 10 in a row that night. And he finally played Ozil in the number 10 role as well because he's always been playing Ozil, you know, wide and stuff like that. But that's the first time he made Ozil almost like that number 10. And he actually was a linchpin in this game.
I mean, for me, the look, you not jumped in a way ahead of it, but what I wanted to say was the master stroke was that substitution that he made. Because, I mean, I didn't notice it at first, but when I was watching the Premier League show that was Lee Dixon and Matt Holland the other yesterday,
yeah,
they were just discussing, you know, when Doozy and Aubameyang came on for Lichtsteiner and Mkhitaryan, they said, you know, that whole tactic was already prepared well in advance, that whole tactical switch, because they said if you watch it, that even the highlights package, I think you can watch, you can see Guendouzi, the minute he runs onto the field, when Lichtsteiner comes off, Xhaka already, without any conversation or, you know, normally a little gesture that, you know, go in there or whatever, you just see Xhaka immediately go into that left back position. So you could see that was already pre-planned, that whole thing, the whole tactic now of playing like that. So, you know, he slotted in there. And I mean, then you could already see one thing we could see now also, Leicester were tiring, and I mean, tiring badly. From that hour mark, you can actually see there's a point where Ozil starts getting time with to put his foot on the ball and look up. Guendouzi as well. And you could see slowly but surely, you know, where Leicester were 1 minute, like first off doing all that, you know, making it compact, pressing somewhere. Yeah. All of a sudden, there it's like, you know, they're giving them the ball. When it came to us attacking them in their box or around there in their third, the minute they get the ball, they just booted it forward or booted it into touch. Because you could see every time that we were just coming wave upon wave, and you knew something was going to give. And look, it was almost like an Aubameyang blitz. Because that first goal was almost like something that you would see on a TV game or something like that. Because Ozil gets the ball, Bellerin already knows, okay, that's going to be played into that space, that open space. Chilwell didn't even bother tracking because, I mean, you could see he was totally switched off. You know, and as you said, with that tactical change beforehand also, all of a sudden, Chilwell was not that threat anymore going forward because almost like now he had to start sitting back. And when he had to defend, you could actually see he's also got holes in his game. And I mean, it was like a perfect, you know, inch-perfect pass. And I mean, it was a little dink pass Kasper Schmeichel for that 2-1. And then, I mean, just when you think that, you know, the crowd was already rocking, the players already playing with confidence. And then, you know, leading up to that third goal, which was probably, for me, goal of the weekend. I mean, I'm sorry to be biased or whatever, but...
No, I definitely could be content about one of the goals of the season.
I mean, you see that minute that ball leaves Leno's foot and that whole, the way that movement starts. It's like watching, you know, it's a type of thing, a moment where you actually want to be, you know, like a drone and just look down and watch.
Yeah.
You know, everything gets pinged around like it. And I mean, it was so, so fast. I mean, it went 1 minute to Xhaka, who plays the infield, I think. And then it was that Ozil with a little back flick to Bellerin that was already steaming forward. And I mean, the minute he was going to cut the ball infield, I mean, I did not expect that little step over dummy from Ozil, where he just ran over the ball. And I mean, when that ball got chopped into that pocket from Lacazette, I mean, it was just, you know, I mean, like that perfect, perfect goal that you would say, setup goal, where it was again Aubameyang just with a simple tap in after that fantastic little outside of the foot pass by Ozil.
I think it's just the team just on the same wavelength. Like, for this, the way like I said, knew that Ozil was going to leave the ball and he knew exactly where to play the ball without even almost like having to hear anything. It was like it was a telepathic thing where everybody just knew where they were. And something that's been missing for Arsenal for a long time because,
you know, and for those listeners also, if you want to get an idea of, you know, that goal that was scored, the third one especially, Watch the Arsenal on the Arsenal channel on YouTube. They have a training session from, leading up to, I think, to the Leicester game. You must just
Yeah.
find the exact date. And then you can actually see they are training that exact move. I kid you not. Just have a look at that clip. Because they set up dummies on the training pitch at Colney. And you can actually see that little give and go passes just in that little in the penalty area. And you can see it's like it plays out perfectly where it just gives that whoever's gonna score the simple tap in. Because it's almost like the ball is always gonna be spread left or right. And then a perfect 45 cross, and it just gets stepped in.
Oh, one thing I liked also of the Arsenal team at the moment, it's the depth and strength that's coming from the bench. I mean, Emery doesn't, how can I say, he doesn't care about your reputation. He'll put you on the bench, like the likes of Ramsey, the likes of Aubameyang. They are on the bench. Maybe like Emery, like he doesn't just put players in the positions wherever they feel because of who they are and like their stature or whatever, because the likes of Wenger wouldn't have done and taken these bold risks that Emre is doing at the moment.
I mean, what I'm actually enjoying to watch is this constant drive going forward. You get like Iwobi
Yes.
gets the ball, turns, goes forward. Guendouzi or whatever, or I don't know, sometimes Elneny kind of still has that old brand of football in him where you'll get the ball, but you don't have that confidence sometimes just to that lung busting run forward and you'll stop and play like a little safe pass back. And I'm thinking to myself, just get on that. Almost like that Emery bike and go forward because that is because I mean the faster we play, you can see we put the fear of God into most of these guys, most of these teams that we play, especially the defenders, because they are not expecting those balls to be pinged around. And look, we've got actual like ballers in our team that can do that quick little triangle passes around you or that give and go stuff or that that little dink through the middle stuff like that. That is the brand of football. And that's where I worry about people, even like Mkhitaryan at times,
Yeah.
or like Elneny, because you actually see these things where I'm like they are not on that same page at the moment. Or, I mean, I don't know how many scruffy passes I've seen in the last few matches where Mkhitaryan comes on and you think, okay, I'm I hope this guy, it pays off. But I don't know. At times it seems almost like that whole Alexis Mkhitaryan deal. I think it's like both parties somehow just got shortchanged in a way. I mean, I'm not trying
Yeah.
to, I just want to slag him off now for that, but I don't know. It's like there's something that does not, just run smoothly or gel in this team. I don't know. It's a tough problem.
I don't know. I don't think even Ozil can play in the same team. I don't know if it's just my personal thing. Like they I think they maybe get they want to get each other's way, but they'll never kind of almost both be on song together like that. So and they both
Because
soft players.
one thing that I'm picking up is like Emery puts Mkhitaryan more as a winger, or outside left, or outside right. But it's like you can see that Mkhitaryan always has that urge to run to the middle, which of course clogs up everything, like as you said now. Where it's almost like they almost like in each other's way. So something's gonna have to give there. And I mean, I don't think Ozil at the moment is gonna be the guy that he drops, So. Either adapt. He should either adapt his game right, or I don't know. He's going to be at risk of being also slowly phased out, and then probably shown the door. Like if an offer comes in next summer, then they will probably say, okay, probably like a natural winger for that position then.
You know, one thing about Ozil, actually speaking about team, like under Emery now, these last few games, now he's working much harder off the ball. When we don't have, when we lose possession, he's trying to put in tackles. And I mean, he was coming in from deep also. Like he comes and fetches the ball almost now as well. Like you saw in the Leicester game where he got the ball from deep for the third goal we scored.
Yeah.
It's like and he's also like making those late runs into the box. Like he's everywhere. Like now, I don't know what Emre told him, or I don't know if it's the protection of having Torreira behind him that he feels more safe, almost like a bodyguard guarding him, that he can just go and do what he must do.
Okay, so now we're gonna now draw a line on that game. So we talk now about the Europa League's game at
Wait,
Sporting
sorry to
Lisbon.
interrupt. I just want to congratulate you on your prediction as well. You did call it 3-1, and you were spot on.
Thanks, bro. As Andre said, we're playing now Sporting Lisbon in the Europa League away. You unfortunately could not watch the game as you had other commitments, I think football-wise.
Got football commitments, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a good game. I mean, what in a way stood out? I mean, in a way, it was kind of sly of Lisbon. They set up their squad like on, when they have to match, yeah, need their sheets to UEFA. It's like 4-3-3. And the more I was watching that game, because they've got the guy at left back. Okay, I know some of those numbers mean nothing in today's football, but they had a guy like a number nine. He played, I think, at the World Cup. Could be for one of the South American countries. Can't think now of which one. Acuna. Could be even Uruguay. Could be Mexico. I'm not sure. And he was playing. Or he's registered on that thing as a left back in that 4-4 or 4-3-3. And
Yeah.
I was watching that game, you could see Porto were playing as sorry, not Porto, Lisbon were playing a game, a formation something like 2-5-3, because that Acuna guy was playing so far up, you can't even say it was really a left back.
Yeah.
And he was looking more like a wing back type. But I mean, look, him and that guy, I don't know if that guy's name is Petrovic or Petrovic. So the right back, Lisbon's right back, they were so quick going back and back in attack or going to defend or whatever. So they could make up that, the four again in defense. But for most of that game, especially first half, when they went out, because they also had us on the ropes quite a bit. They had like just that Coates that used to play for Liverpool, they had him as a center back, and they had another guy, Pinto. And they were almost like just like a two-man wall, and they were just sitting all time in their half, and like the rest of the team were just almost like flooding us. And I thought to myself, look, there's also only so much we can handle. Something's gonna also give if we're not gonna
Yeah.
hold up. Look, there were a lot of close calls in that game also, where Socrates could have been sent off for a professional foul because he was, I mean, clearly tugging the guy back. Rob Holding again. I mean, we didn't touch on it in that Leicester review, but
Yeah.
Holding again, had his hand in a weird position where the ball smacked his hand. Could have given away a penalty. Even could have been a red as well there. So we also rode our luck in that first half. But then you could see as the second half wore on, that the same way, and that is now where I'm going to touch on what that Matt Holland said with regards to the Emery tactics. He showed a list of the last, I think, three Premier League games, and there could be even six or seven games, and we go into that games every time 0-0, 1-1 type of thing,
Yeah.
and they show second half Arsenal just run roll over you, and like Lee Dixon first didn't say, oh yeah, like it's almost like just a rub of the mold type of thing, or rub of the green I should say, and Matt Holland said, nah, but he thinks Arsenal playing a type of tactic where for 10, 15 minutes, there the ball is yours, attack us. Then after that, when you get to that 20, 30-minute mark or 35 minutes, then all of a sudden Arsenal start taking control of the game. And they don't attack, but they start knocking the ball around. So it's almost like, now you can start pressing us. You try getting this ball from us. And then you see that, that in that comfort zone where they lure two or three players onto them because they know they want to play a tight press game,
Yeah.
Lisbon. Leicester also wanted to do that same, tight press game. And then they just start knocking it. So it's almost like you've got with the Leicester game, you had Vardy and Iheanacho pressing all first off. I mean, they did play well. And then second off, when you ask anybody now, what did Iheanacho and Vardy do second off? Nothing. Because
Yeah.
the tank was empty. They could do nothing anymore. They did not have anything. And the only attack that was coming was in midfield and stuff like that. So you had now the same thing play out there with Porto. Why do I keep on saying Porto?
Lisbon.
And you could see they were slowly being gassed out because that, especially that middle quarter of the game, they had nothing anymore because they were just hoofing forward and waiting for a misjudged pass or miss header or something like that. But I mean, we were like sweeping up everything that was coming our way, and I was just yeah, go on.
That's definitely a good point that you're mentioning of How you're saying Arsenal are like almost give the team the ball and they try to at least go in by halftime, 0-0, 1-1, and they start steamrolling the team because I could be under correction, but I don't think we've led a game at halftime yet in terms of the Premier League anymore. So yeah.
So I mean, you could see, and through that, when Welbeck scored that winning goal on 78 minutes,
Yeah.
it was also through number one, lack of concentration and a lot of fatigue, because that quarter is almost like he almost like half stood on the ball, and by the time Welbeck nicked it already off him, it was almost like he did not have the legs. I mean, he managed to get his balance back again, but he had no legs to really carry him, and that covering defender Pinto did not have the pace to turn up to
Yeah.
catch up to Welbeck, and I mean he just smashed that ball between the keeper's legs for the winning goal. I mean, it was also a fantastic, fantastic finish.
Yeah, I saw the finish. It was very well taken. I think Welbeck's been doing well when called upon, actually.
Yeah, because I mean it's showing now how everybody is being made part of the team. Not like you remember under Wenger, it was almost like people were sulking on the bench, and then it's almost like when they
Yes.
have to come on, it's like I don't really feel like this or whatever. But I mean now it's like you get the guys, they come on, they do their business. I mean I saw Ozil when he realized at I think it was 10 or something minutes or 8 minutes to go that he was not going to be subbed in for that last few minutes of the game. He was upset. And it tells you how eager they are now to play and want to be in. But I mean, that is where I really admire Emery, because you can see he's keeping the squad ticking and going. And look,
Exactly.
now you know.
Everybody's happy.
Now you know, yeah. Now you know on this, like the Palace game again, you're going to have Ozil in. Now he's going to want to prove something again. So look, I actually deserved, that little bit of a cameo there. Or, Lacazette that came on also with about 10 minutes ago. He's probably going to also want to put in a shift now. So you have that, the look, you have that nice banter, training and that,
Yes.
but you also have that little rivalry also. So, it's all in all, it's like a this big pot, you're mixing all these personalities together, and it's almost like benefiting the team now as a whole. And then you get
No, and you can see on Instagram even like the when they won that 11 in a row, everybody's posting about it. Even the guys who didn't play in the game, so it feels like it's their win. It's like our win almost. It's not like oh, just the guys that's playing in the Europa League squad. It's their win because that's what Wenger used to do. He used to have a Europa League squad, a Carabao Cup team, and this team. But now it's just one team. Everybody plays together. It's like there's no importance in like. Prioritization in competitions like Europa League, those guys are all the whole squad is going to be there. The Carabao
You
Cup, the
know,
whole squad is going to be there.
as like the only thing I find annoying of I mean, as much as well as we're doing, is how the media are, really playing all this down. I mean, I'm not saying, because some of them go, oh yeah, they're winning this, but it's not making them title contenders. Fine, we accept that, but it's not us talking about it. Because look, if you ask any Arsenal fan, like that's I'm like a realist. We'll
Yeah.
tell you straight, our aim is to get in the Champions League. We see,
Yeah.
where we get to, end of the season. We are not talking. I have not heard any Arsenal fan, and I mean, I follow them on Twitter, Arsenal fans on Twitter, and I have some friends on Facebook, and that. None of us have spoken about, oh yeah, we're gonna go off and win the league. We're gonna go off and no, we are just being
No.
real about everything, taking every game as it comes, and I mean, every game also comes with a different tactic, different. Game plan and whatever. And, us as fans are accepting it because we know we've got a new manager. Not much as, of course, expecting that first season because look, it was a whole, as you said, also with the whole transition and all that stuff. So, I mean, we accept, we take things at face value. We're not, running our mouth off and, oh, we're going to win the Champions League, or the League, Europa League, and everything. We're just taking it game by game. And I think, like, when you hear people that are, like, commentators or pundits that are kind of biased to, the old teams and stuff like that. I
Yeah.
think, almost like subconsciously, they are a bit nervous because you look at any of the other teams, how many have are on a win streak like this? Honestly,
Yeah,
I'm still
none of them.
being real about it. I'm not saying, oh yeah, we're gonna win the league. I mean, for me, top four would be actually a bonus for now. I mean, anything else is a bonus. But I mean, for now, that now is like, you know, what we should gun for, the top four. And like, people are not, you know, I was like, oh yeah, Leicester's like not a strong four. This, and yet, when Liverpool, you can you please explain to me what makes Liverpool championship material if they're winning like 1-0 at Huddersfield away, and we just wipe the floor with some other teams like away from home? And what is the
There is
difference?
a different story. It's always the case with Arsenal. They'll say, we're not beating the big teams now, like, oh, we're not beating the smaller teams now, they're beating the smaller teams. It's, oh, they've only played the smaller teams, but you still have to get the job done. And for
Okay, do you remember? I don't know if it was like it could be 7, 8, or even 10 years ago. Do you remember also there was a time where I'm not sure if it was Liverpool or United or somebody, but they lost against all the top three, and they ended
it was
up,
United. It was United, and they won the league.
yeah, and then they ended up, as long as you finish, look, at the end of the day, you have to see if you get the points against whether it's mid-table or lower teams, and that's what they did. They might have lost to the big guns and whatever, and they ended up winning it without beating a big team. So, how does
If
that?
I'm watching you, I'll be happy if Arsenal lose to Liverpool but go on another 12-game winning run.
Because look, the next few games are going to be tough for us, no doubt.
Yeah, but I think Palace away is also not going to be the easiest of fixtures. Salas Park hasn't been good to us.
Yeah, but from what I look at the moment, this season, what I've been again going on, I've been actually checking teams' progression from the actual season, and they are again the problem that they have. You know, look, we said Leicester were inconsistent. I guess, you know, 1-4, lost 4 at the time before they played us. With Palace again, they are struggling to score goals at home again. Now the pressure's also on them. Can they not do it? And look, we know again we're gonna face again a storm on like tomorrow. So it's almost, we're gonna probably have to weather the likes of some Zaha and Townsend. But then I think after that, you nullify them again, then it's again open season on that midfield and the open season on the defense as well to have a right go at them. And I mean, if we're gonna turn on the pace again like we did against Fulham, and I mean, look, that was not a typical away performance. That was now ruthless. So, I mean, they could also set themselves up for something if we play them.
Would you go Aubameyang and Lacazette both on the pitch on Sunday?
I would, but I don't think he's gonna. I don't think, because at the moment he's very happy letting Aubameyang come on like with, you know, half an hour to go, because he's scared. If you see Aubameyang's stats with that substitution things, he comes on, how many goals he scored from as a sub. He's got a lot in the bag.
What is it exactly?
I think he's got now, what was it, 2, 4, could be 5 in 5 in about 65 or 85 minutes of play
Yo,
as a sub.
that's actually for those Arsenal fans who are sad about losing Sanchez. Sanchez only has 3 Premier League goals, and Aubameyang has done more than that coming off the bench.
Yeah, it's scary. So we think now tomorrow, hopefully another 3 points in the bag. Let's look at, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's going to be tough probably again, since especially the way we play. But I hope we take that 3 points, and then next up is in the Blackpool game in the Carabao Cup. So I hope you guys all have a good weekend, and hope you enjoy the rugby later on, Aiden.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I was gonna be mad at Newlands. But before we go, prediction for the game. Let's see if we can get to the game.
No Arsenal.
I'm also going for 2-0, actually.
Okay. Take care.
Okay.
Hope you
Yep.
guys, fellow
Bye.
Gooners, have a great weekend. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.